Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Sean.
What up, bro?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Happy birthday to who?
Mona. Happy Mona's birthday.
Oh, Mona. Yes. Happy birthday, Mona Scott Young. And many,
yeah,
many more.
We did a little dinner
over at Bower.
We didn't
actually start the show yet, by the way.
Yes, yeah, I thought it said recording in progress.
We are, but you ain't say pop life.
Oh, I was gonna get to that. Oh,
pop. We just out here.
Justin, keep recording. So pop life podcast today is February 16.
Yes.
16, right? Yeah. Two days after V-Day.
This week seem long to y'all?
Huh?
Ish.
Does this week seem long to y'all?
Yes.
Like it's really dragging. On Wednesday.
It's dragging. Everything's just off. I hate to be like fucking sad sack or whatever, but I talked to a friend of mine today. We were just talking, and she lives out west in Oakland, and we were just talking, and we were both just like, it's just such a heaviness in the air, man. You know, it's just it's really wearing me down. It's just like it sounds so trivial, but I feel like I ain't actually had fun in about 3 years. Fun.
I don't think that's true.
I know
it's because of the pandemic and everything, but it's like I don't remember like in the last time like when I was like, I had a good time today.
You know, yeah. I will say for me the club quarantine in LA.
It was that was the last time I had fun.
It was like magical. A moment, and it was like
seems like it was 5 years ago.
It was also
it
like
recharged me for the rest of the year.
It was like, I missed this so much. Mm-hmm. I was literally sitting there like, I missed this so much. I will never take a day like this for granted ever again, right? And then the shit got snatched away again. I mean, I also think that it being winter, like us going back into Omicron
too.
In the dead
that
of winter mm-hmm. also was impactful. Like, yeah. You know, that happening in the holidays and us not feeling like we can get a fresh start to the year.
Can't wait to see the family like you want to.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that as like spring comes up, I mean, my fear is, you know, obviously we're going into festival season and a lot of festivals have already announced that they are completely obliterating
Coachella and two of them. Coachella and another.
And I can't remember what the other one
is. Another big festival is basically like it's lit.
That
it's like
sounds like a disaster.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I am 100% going to see New Edition next weekend.
As you should.
Because I bought them tickets before mm-hmm. Omicron and I was like, I'm going. And I'm about to get tickets to this Maxwell Anthony
the tour, right? Yeah.
Like,
I've been seeing people talking about that online.
Listen.
People are tired, man. They're ready to go back outside and ready to get back with people. Like even
listen, everybody who has since has been very disciplined for the last 2 years. We're exhausted.
We're wore out.
Yeah, and you know, what was I gonna say about the shit going outside?
I'm sorry, I did cut you off.
People are just
no,
like,
it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
I would say people ready to just go back outside, man. It's worn. It's worn. Oh, I was gonna say even the usual, over the top fronting Valentine's Day fronting.
Yeah,
wasn't even like that.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Monday. It wasn't. I mean, there were some people, but usually you get like you know, and a lot of it be capped. But like you get a lot of you know, oh, we was here, we took the 4,000 roses. It was a little bit of that, but nowhere near what it normally is. I mean,
because nobody's at work. The flex with the flowers doesn't work if you're not getting them on your desk on Valentine's Day.
It's like It's like back in high school. If you ain't give it, if you ain't send it up to the school during the school day, it don't count.
Wait, I got a Valentine's Day. I got a Valentine's Day story. But go ahead, bro.
I was just gonna say. I just want to add that all of those things, like what you said, was very important. That because the office doesn't pop in the same way, that you don't have those things. And guess who is impacted by that? the small businesses that rely on Valentine's Day, folks that are, you know, hustling, and this is a huge, huge day for them. So yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think that we forget the symbiotic relationship that offices have with the other businesses in the area and what right. that means and how it's impacted. So
and even stuff like Administrative Professionals Day and all those things that you are not even
all of those things.
Yeah, like running outside to get the flowers,
doesn't exist.
The Mexican cat on the corner, or get the little bear or whatever. The birthday celebrations, catering some food and a cake. Who getting the cake? Where we getting the cake from? Magnolia. We got the cupcakes.
The girls getting together for Galentine's Day. I didn't see a lot of that either.
No, yeah. Everybody's in that goddamn house, so it's rough. Oh, but I'll tell you my little Valentine's Day story. This is so I was dating this girl who I think you might know, so she'll remain unnamed. This relates to the office thing. So I lost touch with this cat. I had a cat, you know, I had one of them cats that had the plug.
Yeah.
So my man fell up on some earrings from Cartier, some kind of way. I don't know what happened. They fell off somebody's truck. So he got the joints. I need to try to find that guy. But anyway, he got the joints, but he couldn't get them to me till the 15th. Mm-hmm. So he got them to me, and we went out on the 15th to some restaurant, gave her the earrings. You know, she was happy, but then she was kind of mad at me. And I was like, I don't understand.
Target. Yeah.
Yeah, these are nice. You know what I'm saying? What's up? She said, because yesterday she worked at this advertising agency, this big advertising agency. That has
I know exactly what's talking
about. She was like, yesterday you didn't send me flowers, and all the other people in the office were getting flowers. And you know, we got this open plan, so I could see flowers at everybody's desk, and you didn't get me anything. And I'm like, but I got the Cartier joints right now.
It don't count. Like,
I found out that it don't count.
But that's also why. I don't really do Valentine's Day. And the reason I don't really do Valentine's Day is because in high school, I had a very unique knack for, I was always spinning the block in high school. Like I had like a 3-month limit on shit, but I had a very unique knack for being on my way into something or on my way out of something around Valentine's Day. And
come through self-awareness.
So, like
self-care.
And I also never talked to people. I was also never dating guys from my school. Right. So it was like, it'd be a crapshoot on those big days, because it's like, even if I'm with somebody, they go to a different school. So
yeah, you ain't gonna see them.
To send me something. Right. Or, you know, do whatever. So, you know, you'd be sick because they would call you up to the office if you had a floral delivery or a gift delivery. So all day it's like such and such, please come to the office, blah, 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 please come to the office. And then all day everybody's carrying around big ass bears and flowers and all that other shit. And like, there were too many years when I wasn't that person. Like, and I was like, I mean, I had some good years and I had some
dry years.
And then there was one year where like the nigga brought the shit to my house after school. Hey, Trav. And I was like, I mean, thank you, but we ain't had social media. It don't matter.
So that was social media.
I can't take it to school tomorrow.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
It's not like I can take it to school tomorrow. So it's like, I mean, it's cute, but you should have sent the shit up school, come on lunch, dropped it off, something. So yeah. I had to like remove myself from that and be like, because birthdays, you can give a gift before or after. Valentine's Day, if you don't give it on Valentine's Day, it does not count.
Listen, hard way that year.
Celebrate me. I want to be romance the fuck down.
All that.
And I get romanced down.
And I don't think,
know that's right. With your husband in earshot. You better say it.
I don't think we made it much longer either after that. But she got some earrings.
I mean, but I much prefer.
I would have asked for the earrings back, but I'm petty. Yep.
I shifted to the idea of surprise me with shit randomly. It does not have to be Valentine's Day. So I let Valentine's Day go. But
but also do Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Hey, but Sean, you have your wife's birthday is the day after Valentine's Day. That's extra pressure.
Yeah. And I'm not really a great gift giver. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't know if I'm not a great gift giver or not. I just know that my wife can be picky. So
fair.
I play it by ear. We don't, you know what I'm saying? We just don't live a life of like the traditional, hey, I made reservations back in December.
Yeah.
Because I know where I'm going to be. Like, we just live that
exactly.
life.
Exactly.
Right.
And plus, it's been 25 Valentine's Days.
I was like, right, say, you know, 25 what Valentine's you want? Day.
Yeah,
I
mean, we are like five. So, yeah, the flowers.
We can absolutely just, I'm going to get some ice cream. You want some ice cream and some cookies?
Yeah. But you know what? So, like, but see, that's the thing. And this is what, I mean, we're going off on this tangent. But that's obviously one of the things, one of the millions of things that social media has fucked up is the stunning thing. Because I saw, what did I see? Oh, there's a girl I follow on Twitter, and she was like, this nigga asked me on a date to go take a walk in the park. And she posted his tweet, and it said, yo, we can go hang out today, go take a walk in the park, do whatever you want to do. And everybody was like, oh, he's a brokey. And I'm like, well, first of all, he said, we can do whatever you want to do. So he didn't say, I don't have no money. He just said, but I'm like, why is taking a walk in the park bad?
Right.
Why do I hobosexuals who do things like this? And see, we've all had that experience. It's your fault collectively. It's the OGs who are not saying things that make sense in the barbershop.
But also,
I'm bringing it back to you.
I think it depends on where you are. Like a walk in the park in like Florida might be okay, but like, are you in Chicago, my nigga? Like, nobody's walking.
You're in upstate New York.
Like, nobody's putting on layers for an eight, my guy.
Nobody's taking a walk in Boston. That's not in February. Right.
Context matters. Like, I have definitely been on brunch dates or even dinner dates where it was like an early dinner date and you just started strolling the city because you're talking, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that wasn't the plan was not, nigga, let's go, you know, it wasn't Jill Scott, let's take a long walk. Like, you know, it wasn't the plan. And I do think some of it is scorn. Like the dates have always been transactional, so I'm not gonna try to act like they weren't, but there is a level of transaction that people have in mind when it comes to dating. Like courtship is out of it. It seems like it's very
how much are you spending?
I'm not buying these hoes this. And the girl's like, well, this nigga is not gonna do XYZ. And it's like, and I realize that my view on this is colored by living in a city like New York, where there is a lot you can do if you don't have, without spending a lot of money, but you still have to make an effort. And my thing is like, the point is effort, right? But I also am a person who doesn't like the idea of a coffee date because I think that shit is stupid. So it's like, so coffee to me is like, I'm going to talk business with somebody saying, let's have some coffee. I'm not getting dressed and looking cute and coming out my house to meet you for fucking coffee. So I get kind of like on both sides why people are kind of, but the whole put the shit on blast is a little
whack.
That's the difference. Yeah,
all things. Yeah,
I think that's the difference in culture right now is that there is an enormous amount of pressure, particularly for young men, for these gestures. And I don't mean like young adult men. I mean just young men in general. Even when we look at the promposal, and just all of the pomp and circumstance that comes with these gestures, right? And you have to do all this, right? Because also, you have to do all of this, not just for the gram, but also because you know that all of her, like, this is going to impact her decision.
Yeah.
Right? And that is a sign of how much that is a sign of effort now, how much over the top you can be. And listen, I totally understand it. I'm not going to pretend like, you know, you and I, you know what I mean? Like me and Mona were like never doing any of that sort of stuff, right? Like do the pomp and circumstance. But then like, you know, again, there comes a point where like, I don't really want to fight over a prefixed menu at a restaurant for hot wings and like chocolate mousse cake that's like old, right? Like
I hate chocolate mousse cake, by the way.
Like we know this menu, right? Like we know this menu. So, you know, we go out last night, you know, God bless this lady, right? I come out and, you know, obviously that, you know, we had a dinner. Mostly women are there. So of course we go to valet and there's a woman and she's coming down with roses and she's trying to, like, clearly she can tell I'm with most of the women mm-hmm. in this group. She doesn't know quite who I'm with, but she's trying to sell me on the beautiful rose. Or I'm like, lady, if you don't get the fuck away from me right now, this bullshit. I just spent in this goddamn restaurant, bro, like
with this $28. Ain't
nobody
rose.
Getting no, yeah, ain't nobody getting no flowers tonight. Not for me. You go over there to the Russians that's over there in the circle smoking cigarettes and yeah, see if you might, get yeah. try your luck over there.
Come up over there. Well, I have to say, before we get on this topic, one of the best dates I have ever had was I took this gal to Central Park on a nice day, packed food and all that shit too, though. So it was a picnic. You know what I'm saying? And we went out there and we sat, we had great conversation, and we had a great time. And I ain't really spending that much money, but again, it's all about the vibe and the connection. Anyway, let's move forward. Happy Valentine's Day to y'all, whatever y'all did. Shit. So let's jump into what are you watching? Nah, you go first this week.
Well, I know we're all going to talk about Genius, so I'll skip.
Yeah. We'll save
that. We're also all going to talk about Inventing Anna, so I'll mm-hmm. skip that. I don't know that since the last time we taped.
Yeah, watch none.
Anything? I mean, I have. I just don't know if there's anything worth sharing.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think I updated y'all on everything. Oh, yeah. No, I think I updated y'all on everything last time that we're not going to discuss, like, collectively.
Okay.
Aside from America. Oh. That I know. Love is Blind on Netflix.
Oh, I ain't starting yet. Yeah. How is it?
For season two. Actually, oh, shit. What's today? Today's the... Oh, no. The rest of the show ain't out till Friday. So they dropped 5 episodes last week. I think 5 this week, and then the finale week after. And then the finale next week. This season is really stressful. I don't believe in any of these couples. Last season, only one couple really made it all the way through.
The mixed couple, right?
Couple. Yeah, and he loves
two.
He loves her dirty drawer, but they both love each other's dirty drawer.
The other couple, the girl
that had all the student loan debt.
Yeah,
with the guy.
They made it. I forgot. They made it.
The southern
couple. But the interracial couple is like the social media.
Yeah, they love each other.
Yeah.
this time, I don't know that I believe it. Any of these couples, there's one couple I really like, but we have two instances of people being torn between who they actually asked to marry / who they said yes to. So there's two of these situations this time. Not
two triangles.
Yeah. So it's messy as fuck. Like, it's really messy. The whole fucking everything was. If I was feeling like I was watching Married at First Sight, because they always stress me out. This was like the whole honeymoon situation stressed me the fuck out. So I'm ready to watch the rest of this mess. Right. So yeah,
I'm gonna tap in because I definitely enjoyed the first season way more than I expected to. So I'm gonna tap into that.
Same. I just started watching it randomly, and all of a sudden I was in it. I was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, no, I was like, oh,
get invested.
I think this shit is kind of hot.
You watch it initially just to clown a bit, and then you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm actually liking this.
Bro, what you watching? Anything? Well, I know you've been traveling, so I don't know if you've had time to watch anything.
No, I've been just kind of binging. Nothing particular, nothing new.
Okay. Inca?
So I caught up on a bit of TV. I watched Somebody Somewhere?
Oh, yes. Somebody Somewhere. Yes.
Something like that. Yeah. I like that. I like her.
Really good, right?
Yeah. It's really good. Mm-hmm. I watched the first episode of Bel-Air, even though I said I was not going to get Peacock. I was like, let me just spend the $5 so I can see what it is. It's really, really good.
Okay.
I was shocked. I was like, I am in. All these people are my favorite. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Go ahead.
I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you anything about. I'll spoil the show. All you right. kind of know the story, but it's better to just see it blind.
Okay.
And then what was the other thing? Oh, and we started watching Righteous Gemstones, which is another show that I was like until halfway through the first episode, and I was like, oh shit, I have to see how this plays out.
How far deep are you in? Are you still on season
only
one?
Two episodes.
It's
a very, very, very busy week here at the Shaw household.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But we back in it tonight.
It's such a great show. It's such a great show.
Oh, good.
It's so absurd.
It's so unexpected.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's great.
I watched this movie, Kimmy, which is on HBO Max. It stars Zoe Kravitz. And it's about her character is
in Seattle. Isn't it like some precog shit? That's what it looks like.
Her character's in Seattle. She works for the company. The company is basically the Alexa, but it's called Kimmy. And so she's one of the people that's charged to listen to stuff. And if they hear anything, they got to report it and all that shit. And she hears a murder. And she tries to report the murder. But, I mean, people are going to watch the movie, so it don't really matter about spoilers. But as she's trying to report the murder, is right around the time that they're trying to do an IPO.
Oh.
So they're trying to stop her from reporting the murder because they get the IPO is about to come in crazy and they're about to make gazillions of dollars. And by the same token, she had been attacked. So she has I don't know what it's called when you PTSD. Don't like to go we don't like to go outside.
She has
agoraphobia. Agoraphobia. Yes. So she will never go outside. Like she got this banging ass loft and she will never leave the crib. She even got this dude. She like looks at him because he lives in the loft across the street. And I said they communicate.
This sounds familiar.
It's kind of like an Alfred Hitchcock taking off.
There's another movie where there was somebody who worked in something and had agoraphobia. And when I have to think of it, I can't remember what it was. I think it had something to do with like a murder of some women or something. I can't remember. But okay, so I saw it. Thank you.
Oh, you watched Kimmy?
No, I saw a preview.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but it felt like something about the way she talked about the murder. It felt like a take on Minority Report because it seemed like she was talking about a murder that hadn't happened yet or something.
It had happened, but they were trying to hide it, and it's okay. I think it had potential to be dope, mm-hmm. but it didn't really turn out dope as it could have been. It's
It didn't crawl all the way over.
But
you mentioning HBO Max reminded me. There's another show. David Oyelowo. Oyelowo, yeah. It's called The One Before. And
oh yeah, The Girl Before.
The Girl Before. So yeah,
how is that?
So it's like a psychological thriller, right? Mm. You're all laughing at me. It's worth a binge. It's only.
They sound like Larry David.
if you ain't doing shit. And you want something to watch, you should watch it. It's a psychological thriller. And David Oyelowo is this architect who built this really dope minimalist house, right? And he offers it at below market, but you have to meet these very specific agreements and requirements for it to be accepted, right? So you don't just apply, like he interviews you and he puts you through this whole questionnaire. And it takes a minute to kind of catch on to what's going on, but you realize that we're watching two different women apply and get approved for the house at two different spaces of time. And the reason it takes a minute to realize this is because these women look exactly alike. And they both also look like his dead wife. So there is like this kind of progression of, you know, is he a serial killer? Is he obsessed with people? Mm-hmm. You know, is there some other shit going on with the house that is so crazy? And his rules are like no photos, no knickknacks, no rugs, no decorating, no, like you have to leave the house completely sparse, like no sign of your life in the house. So like I said, if there was a twist at the end that I didn't expect, and I'm still trying to decide if it was a cop out on where the story was building to, but it was worth watching. Like if you ain't got shows to watch, it's worth watching. Check I'm not gonna okay. Yeah.
All right.
It's not outstanding, but it's worth watching.
It's all right. Last thing, real quick, I watched this movie called Nobody, signed by this guy named Bob Odenkirk, who's actually a comedic actor usually, but he makes it's kind of like John Wick, bro, you would probably like it because it's actually written or produced by the same people who do John Wick. The guy who wrote it, I think, wrote John Wick. There's like a lot of John Wick stuff around it. And he's like this guy who's just living his boring suburban life. And then, of course, you find out later that he was actually this, like, you know, killer for the CIA, and like, you know, it's just kind of weird coincidence how he has to come out, and you know, it's mad violent. And the thing I like, it's all right, it's not great, but the thing I did like about it is like he actually gets his ass kicked too. Like when he gets hit, it hurts. It ain't like he just rushes, like he's winning the fights, but he's definitely catching L's along the way. So I mean,
I did watch some real quick.
Okay.
I watched a show on Netflix called In From the Cold, and it's basically that? It's a spy. It's like a spy thriller.
Is this the one with the woman who's a former spy, and they pull her back into?
Yeah, and they pull her back in, and it's very cheesy, very unrealistic, but also good. You know, it's just. There are certain spy movies where it's like, basically, like the more and more you actually watch documentaries about spies and what they really do versus the movies and what you think they do, and you realize the spy is more likely to not look like The Rock and Tom Cruise and will likely be the guy who looks like a gym teacher, right? Yeah. Like,
because that's how they blend
in. You process things a little bit. You process things a little more differently, right? But again, cheesy,
and they ain't doing a little bit of action, car chases and shit. Yeah.
Like it's like, you know, of course, it's like super high espionage. They're in embassies, and there's, you know, and then
wearing tuxedos and shit.
Again, if you enjoy solid action movie, you know, series, watch it. It's only 8 episodes. It's actually a really easy watch. It's fairly easy to follow, so it's not super complex with like ridiculous twists and turns. It's a fairly simple plot to follow. Okay. But that was good. I don't think I talked about it. I watched Jack Reacher as well.
How was that?
Same. You know, cheesy, good old American cheesy action. No, solid.
Yeah, like, I caught a couple minutes of it when Trav was watching. I'm like, you know, this black dude is cool, but that would never happen, and I'm out.
Never. It would never happen. They got this, like, they like, play it up, and it's so ridiculous. Like, dude lets off a 50 cal shot in the front yard into a fucking tree, and nobody, like, comes outside.
Yeah, okay. All right. I might get on board one day. Let's jump right in. Before we do the genius, let's talk real quick about Super Bowl. We can talk about the game. The game was weird to me because it wasn't a bad game. It was a good game, like in spots, but it was weird.
You weren't rooting for anybody.
Maybe that's but even in the playoffs, I wasn't rooting for those teams either. But those were great games. Like this game, it was good. It wasn't whack. Right. It was all right, but it was good in spots. It was whatever. That's not important, really. The Rams won. God bless. The important thing is halftime and the commercials. So
congrats to OBJ. I'm really excited for him.
Congrats to OBJ, who was tearing up shit till he got hurt.
Yeah,
he was on like MVP of the game pace until he got hurt. He was really
I saw them puffy eyes when he came back to the sideline in the second half. Yeah. I was like, oh Lord,
he's very emotional. So let's talk commercials first because the halftime performance will probably take a little longer. So, were there any commercials that y'all liked?
I really like the Larry David commercial.
Okay.
I am not buying crypto. Like, please stop trying to make me do it. I think crypto is for people who are in a tax bracket that's secret that I don't even know about, and people that are much younger than me. So I will keep my money in my phone where I can see it. Thank you.
Let me just tell a quick story about, because I'm going to forget it. So I've had at least 4 or 5 people over the past year or so try to explain to me NFTs and what they are and how they work. And I'm always like, I don't
You know why you don't get it? Listen, you actually get it.
Let me finish. I do get it now.
You just don't think it's important. That's I realize that I understand it. It just is stupid.
No, I get it now. Because yesterday, God bless her, Missy's mom, Miss Elliot, 70-some years old, down in Virginia. He said, Jeff, I'm going to tell you how NFTs work. And she broke it down for me. And that was the first time I was like, oh, now I understand how they work.
I've been understanding how they work. I realized that I had to stop telling people I don't get it because they thought it meant I don't understand how they work. I understand how they work.
Get
I
just why.
Stupid. Yeah, I just don't get the buy-in to it. Like, this is stupid.
I need to buy like a grown-up couch.
She broke down the blockchain to me and the whole. I'm like, oh. So anyway, I'm sorry. So Larry David and what else
commercial? The Larry David commercial was great. I honestly don't remember any other ones. I remember the Google one about the new camera phone or whatever.
Oh, with the black
people. Was supposed to be great, and it was not. I just remember it falling really flat, but nothing else stands out at this moment.
All right.
I was also making like three different flavors of wings. So.
Okay, so you was good. You was burning.
In and out.
Bro, any commercials you like?
Nothing that really stood out. I mean, I think the Larry David one was pretty good. I like the Sopranos one for obvious reasons.
Now she's hard.
But I just, I mean, that was a nostalgia piece more than, you know, more than anything, obviously. Yeah. But like, yeah, there was nothing that I was very shocked to see the McDonald's. I just feel like McDonald's, they keep missing the boat with their ads. Like their ads are still stuck in this very straightforward way and not very creative or innovative. Or funny. They don't really kind of make fun of themselves like some of the other brands.
Yeah.
But
the McDonald's commercial would be funny. Like I'm still your idea. Like they should make a McDonald's commercial joking about the ice cream machine not never working.
Yes.
They should make a McDonald's commercial about the apple pies burning the hell out of your mouth. Like these are things that
the high C orange that is the reason that women my age are coming back to McDonald's right now.
It's right there for you. Y'all got them niggas in the room. They ain't got them niggas in the room.
That's everything.
Right,
so,
that puts hair on your chest.
Yes. It was, I mean, again, it was kind of solid, but I was not, I wasn't particularly moved by anything. I didn't see anything that was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Or, oh my God, I need that product.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, any commercials for you? Or did you watch the game?
I slept through the Super Bowl.
You didn't watch the game.
But I saw a commercial.
You on a regimen.
I slept straight through that. I woke up at 6:40 and I was like, I done missed the anthems and all of that. Am I going to get up now? And I was like, no, I'm not going to get up. So I saw a commercial on Monday reposted that apparently was a Super Bowl commercial, but it was a commercial, a Mary J. Blige commercial just about
health screening.
Yeah. And I thought it was just so dope because women, obviously black women, but also women in the music industry specifically, I'm guilty of this. Especially of a certain age, we put off regular checkups. We put off shit we need to get done. I remember when I needed to have fibroid surgery, it took me a year to get that shit because I had to be out for 6 weeks. And in my mind, I was like, I can't be out for 6 weeks. What are you talking about?
I got this coming up. I got that coming up.
And I was so mad that it took me so long to be out for 6 weeks because it's like, the fuck? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's 6 weeks.
Because if something would happen, they would have swept the shit off your desk and somebody else would have been sitting there.
Like, everybody survived. It was totally fine, you know? So I thought it was so important to show the commercial shows her hustle bustle. Like she's approving this, she's shooting that, she's doing this, but
she went to that doctor
in that doctor's office. Mm-hmm. And from Mary, especially, I just thought that was so,
that was very smart to use her because
was so key. Yeah. It was so important.
Yeah.
I thought that was really well done.
Yeah. I agree with you. My favorite one was the Sopranos one. I got like oddly emotional. Like when they hugged, I was like, oh shit, AJ and Meadow and shit, like, you know, like, and also, you know, because obviously we don't see either one of them, never see AJ, but it was kind of like the subtext to it was like, you know, dad is gone, but like, we're still like hooking up and going to the diner, like, we're kind of keeping that diner legacy going, you know what I'm saying? But like, when they hugged, because like, it almost looked like Meadow had like tears in her eyes, like, we hadn't seen each other in a while, like, I don't know.
You could feel some emotion.
You could feel some emotion from that. I was like, besides that, the other commercials were just, I agree with y'all. They were okay. They were pretty lackluster. Let's jump to the halftime. Oh, well, this is before halftime. Mickey Guyton did her thing. Mickey Guyton did her thing. She murked it. She did great.
Janae Aiko, beautiful gowns.
Yeah.
Her was a gorgeous.
Sing any anthem, anything for anything.
And I fucked with her. I fuck with her music. Like,
beautiful gowns.
But I didn't. She's not built for that, you know. And somebody performed before her. Who performed?
When did the Marys do LaVery Voice?
The Marys is first. The Marys is first. Tina done gone full. Tina isn't. And forgive me, y'all, but Tina is in that auntie stage where they look kind of like they like little lesbian with it. You know what I'm saying? Like with
you think everybody with locked hair and an ass.
You know, but it's the way that the hair is locked, and she got the sport jacket on.
No, I'm not.
You can't wear pants.
Let me say this.
Forgive my man. Yeah. God bless.
I'm not saying she is a lesbian. She's not. I'm saying, but there's a space that sometimes the aunties get where they just kind of be like, hey, let's move on. Anyway. You know what I'm saying? But they sounded great. Now, they sounded great. They did sound great. And sounded I have to great. Admit, sadly, for a Black college graduate, proudly, I do not know the words to lift every voice. I could take you up
how
to...
How did you finish at HBCU and you don't know the words to lift every voice?
I don't know, because we sung that song all the time.
You clearly were not singing. You were just
once
saying.
That second verse started, I'm out of there.
Well, nobody knows the second verse. I know the beginning of the second verse. I don't know
what's
the
beginning
verse.
Again.
God of our weary.
Yeah, I'm already out. I'm already out. Don't forget. Let's move on. So,
well, travel with us thus far along the way. Something
like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Piece of James Weldon Johnson. But again, they sounded great. They killed it. They sounded beautiful. So let's talk about halftime. Kendrick, Snoop, 50, Eminem, Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige.
That was almost in order of great performance, except you had Mary out of place when you were running them down just now.
This is one of my favorite halftime shows ever.
Okay.
The only thing that could have made it better is if they weren't doing the commercial hits, right? But I understand it's the Super Bowl.
You have to.
I would have preferred It Ain't No Fun Just Fine and, you know, whatever.
I would have preferred Just Fine over No More Drama.
But No More Drama is like one of her biggest hits. So
I get it. But it's kind of like,
it was a party.
Yeah.
It was a party. That's what I'm saying. I wanted May to do either Just Fine or Be Happy. I know those records aren't as big as Drama, but the tempo of those records would have
I definitely would have preferred like something more up-tempo for her. Because, I mean, and even with 50, I would have preferred anything but In the Club. I hate In the Club because I heard it too much. I'm so
tired.
Many
times, right?
Between it being a birthday song now and... same thing with the Trey song, Say Ya. Like, I don't ever need to hear these fucking songs ever again. And I could have... Give me P.I.M.P. Give me anything else from Get Rich.
Well, you ain't about to hear Trey songs.
Never again. But from the set, I thought the set was brilliantly done. Like, a block, you got rooftops, you got inside spaces, very easy visual.
I love how it's choreographed too.
Shout out to Fatima Robinson.
Yes, peace out to
Fatima. I love that. I loved the energy overall. Kendrick was fucking phenomenal.
Kendrick was phenomenal.
Flawless.
He was fucking
phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Man,
I watched that piece of the performance probably three additional times since it came on. It was so good.
And the subtle love he did was, that was a Virgil suit.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
There's a shout out to Virgil on the low. You know what I'm saying?
And, it's a Virgil suit. But if you guys follow Fatima Robinson on Instagram, or if you go to her Instagram, she's been breaking down since Super Bowl all like the rehearsals and the progress of like, you know, what she choreographed versus how Kendrick changed things of that, which has been, so like the intro, Kendrick was actually supposed, those boxes were supposed to, there was supposed to be an aisle in the middle. Like, he's in the middle, but there was supposed to be an aisle for him to walk forward. So while they were doing all those arm movements, he would be like, he was supposed to be marching forward with those arm movements.
Okay.
And Kendrick changed it to just stay in the middle of the boxes. And so if go to, it's worth going to Fatima's page to just watching how she put all everything together. Mm-hmm. She's brilliant.
She's awesome.
The other thing about it is, like, y'all know there's been this argument that's broken down on social media because some news report was like, you know, this was millennial nostalgia. No shots to you, Inca. But like,
I don't take it personally.
It's like that, with the exception of Kendrick, that's a show full of Gen Xers, from the choreography, performers, and it's Dre's show. So it's like, nostalgia doesn't just mean you were a kid when something happened. Like, I was in the club when In the Club came out. Mm-hmm. Like, that, like, you can't tell, because people were arguing, like, they didn't play none of the songs from the 90s. They played the songs from the 2000s. Y'all was listening to, y'all couldn't even say the curse words. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, how is that not our
I said to somebody who tweeted that shit. He was like, yo, you niggas better, like, your knees are hurting or whatever. I said, okay, cool. That's cool. But, like, let me ask a question. You know me. I fucks with the youth. But, like, in reality, what one of these artists is ever going to get to do a Super Bowl?
Right.
In this era.
Yeah.
NBA Young Boy, Kodak Black, like, who's doing a Super Bowl? Seriously.
I think, like, we've seen Kendrick. I don't know if Cole is a dynamic enough performer to get to a Super Bowl.
He's not.
Drake will one day.
Drake will do it one day. He's probably the only one, though.
Yeah.
He'll bring people out. But, so, whatever.
I was just also enamored by the fact that, like, you know, it also goes back to the Dre and Snoop rebrand. Like, these niggas went from gangster rap. Like, you know,
and they was really doing shit. Like, Snoop had a murder charge. Dre was...
Hold on. I feel like one of the biggest rebrands that we actually saw in a random Cheerios commercial during the Super Bowl is Ice-T, who went from a cop killer to then now playing a cop. Who is now selling Cheerios on the basis of lowering your cholesterol
and doing, like, the walk, like
he was doing the speed walk
with a bunch of people through the neighborhood, but he is like
in a yellow jacket.
But I see he's like 65 years old.
Right,
I know.
Like, he's really, like, he's fucking Social Security.
All of them, yeah. Dre, Snoop, Q before he went left, and fucking Ice-T. They got those rebrands started immediately, and they've become like these family friendly fucking
brands. Yeah. Like, you want to get this money, you can't be a monster killer.
Especially with Ice-T, I'd be like, y'all don't really know who this nigga is, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that Snoop is on stage in fucking rapping Pyru, Crip walking in blue, and it's all good, right?
Nobody's even realized what he's doing.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I guess people thought he had on Rams colors. And show that's cute.
No, they thought he had on some kind of Ukrainian or Romanian nod, something to their the embroidery they wear.
Yeah, not. Yeah, that was tweet. Because was it looked like, wow, a big-ass bandana, which is like what they
OG,
were.
Because he's an OG Crip.
Yeah, because he's an OG Crip, which is like, I just loved all of that. And you know, Dre may be a shit human being, 50 may be a shit human being, but like, people trying to clown 50, I posted a clip that showed 50 pulling himself up into that hang position right before the cue. Like, literally just walked out with the microphone in his head, pulled himself up, sat there for a couple of seconds, then let himself down, and got himself down, you know, to keep the show going. I'm like, y'all can't do that at 46.
But the thing is about the 50 thing is that they keep cutting pictures of the actual In the Club video, but that was like 2003. Like, that's a long-ass time ago.
That was almost 20 years ago. There's nothing from 2003 I could replicate.
How you expect him to look exactly the same as he did 20 years ago? It's not realistic to anybody.
Are you kidding me?
You know? Like, what'd you think, bro?
God bless. It was nice.
Nigga, yeah.
I'm gonna be honest, I was a little underwhelmed, and I battled with feeling a little underwhelmed because I didn't want to seem like I was hating, like, I recognize what this Super Bowl halftime meant. So I was never going to shit on it or make it seem like it wasn't significant. I love the performers individually. I personally did not enjoy the show as much as others did. Okay. I didn't think it was a bad halftime show at all. Like, I'm not saying you motherfuckers, you know, shot your load and you needed to go back to the drawing board, but I was a little underwhelmed. I'm not a huge M fan like that, but you know, he was there, he did his thing, God bless. You know, I thought that the stage was it was unique, if I could say that. It was a little busy for me. There was a lot happening. So I found myself kind of like looking at, I couldn't like focus on screen. Like I kept trying to find what am I missing or what am I supposed to be looking at right now? And that's part cameraman. I mean, it's a TV show. The choreography, you know, was, you know, amazing. It was a nod to, you know, their period, their time, right? Yeah. So you add some things in there. So I thought it was great and I thought it was cool, but I wasn't like, oh my God, what have I just seen? Like, I did not hit the rewind button.
All right.
You know.
All right.
But that's no hate and that's no shots. And yeah, I ain't trying to be like, you know, Mr. you know, Ice. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be old grumpy nigga. That's why I ain't really say nothing on social media. Because I ain't want to come off like, oh, here go this old, this angry nigga here. All
right. Before we move on, I forgot one more thing. I guess it was considered a commercial. The trailer for Nope, the new Jordan Peele movie. Starring Kiki Palmer and what's the old boy's name? Why am I blanking on his name? The guy was in Get Out.
Daniel Kaluuya.
Kaluuya, yes. Kaluuya. I'm tripping. Wow. Yes, so starring them two. Seems, you know, it's one of those Jordan Peele trailers that you don't, you know, he doesn't just lay it out for you.
I don't know what the fuck is going to happen, but I'm going.
It seems like some type of alien invasion, I think, but I'm not sure because I saw some alien shit. But I'm, you know, I'm going. Definitely going.
But speaking of Kiki, have y'all seen the trailer for Alice?
Yes. I am in.
Alice is with Kiki and Common. And it's, so when I saw it the first time, I was somewhere where I didn't have my sound on. So I thought it was a sci-fi joint because I didn't understand what I was seeing. But it's actually based on a true story. It's a woman, like the tagline is a woman who is a slave in 1800s Alabama who escapes to find out that it's 1973. So it's about the fact that there were still enslaved people like in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama up until like the 60s and as early as the 70s who did not know that, like who were like in these isolated plantations in the middle of nowhere and who maybe had even been converted to like sharecropping, but like at the end of every year where they try to tally out, the landowner would tell them they were still in the red, but who basically were still living in modern day slavery with no media, no, you know, they couldn't leave the grounds. And they were too far away from any real civilization. Even if they tried to escape, they didn't get far enough to realize what the fuck was going on. And this is the story about a woman who finally escapes, gets picked up by Common, who is a truck driver, who kind of like helps to assimilate her into modern day, right? And then obviously she's going to go back to the plantation to get her people. But it's the fact that like this is, I mean, we make jokes sometimes that say that like there's still black people in like Mississippi and Louisiana who don't know they're free, but like there might actually be black people still in Mississippi and Louisiana who don't know they're free, you know?
I want to see that. That sounds interesting.
Shout out to Kiki Palmer. This feels like her
season. It's a season. Yeah, it's season. way overdue.
Yeah,
because she's mad talented. So she's mad talented. And she's
been putting in work.
And she just keeps pushing along. Okay, let's talk about Versus real quick. So we had Versus last night. They was going to charge. Swizz Beatz said he was out of the country when the decision went down, so he didn't know about it. So he fixed it.
You millionaire don't have a satellite phone.
Don't have a phone or Zoom or nothing.
Or WhatsApp. Nothing.
Yeah, WhatsApp. Yeah, WhatsApp, nigga. Like, come on, bro. Was he riding a whale in the South Pacific?
I mean, but they aren't they a little weird? They're probably out on some nature retreat and.
Yeah, but that nigga be posting every day. He can take a call. Swizz posts every day.
Yes.
He can take a call. Yeah.
Somebody could have got to him. Anyway, we had Versus last night with Anthony Hamilton and Music Soul Child done in L.A. I don't know what arena it was, but done in L.A. You know, the R&B girls is out. One thing this Versus confirmed to me, that's stuff that I didn't know, but, and, you know, that crowd was not all old. It showed me that the good R&B, people are starving for good R&B. And it ain't just like 40 and 50-year-olds or 60-year-olds. So some of those girls in that crowd was like in their 20s. And they knew all the words to those songs as well. So good R&B, there's a bigger audience for it than people, I think, than sometimes we realized. But anyway, they did this Versus. It was Anthony sounded great, brought out the Hamiltones, brought out Raheem Devon, brought out Eric Robeson, brought out Layla James. Mm-hmm. I feel like it might have been somebody. Oh, brought out that one Nappy
Root. JD is his DJ.
One Nappy Root.
That one was Nappy Root.
That was Jermaine DJ?
Yeah, Jermaine was his DJ.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
And Brian Michael Cox was back there somewhere.
I saw Brian. I saw Brian.
Yeah, Jermaine was his DJ.
Okay.
And then, which I thought was a great balance. Also, I'm certain that it was taking everything in Jermaine to stay off the mic at various points of the night, especially with that comedian nigga trying to crack.
He was terrible.
He was awful.
That shit was awful. Call Anthony Hamilton a runaway slave. Like, nigga, how was that funny? That's not funny.
Anyways, somebody shut up at some point.
Yeah, because he definitely stopped talking. Anthony, in music, brought out Robert Glasper.
Yeah.
His Lucky Day, his BM, the girl from 702. Seems like she still might have little feelings for him. I feel like there's somebody else I'm forgetting. He had a bass player that kept coming out. I thought the show was good, not great because Music can't sing, but he's a great songwriter, so I love the songs. But the performance of the songs was extremely lacking.
But this was another example of like when people start talking about, oh, it's going to be a slaughter because this one has the hits and this one doesn't. And I'm like, how are we this deep into Verses and we haven't learned this lesson
yet? We're still saying this shit.
The people are still saying that shit. Like they said it with Keith and Bobby, and they said it with Shaka and Stephanie, and they said that they even said it with fucking Face and Teddy. And it's like, y'all still haven't learned. It's like, it's song choice and performance energy, and Music is notorious for being a lazy ass performer. The thing is that he probably could sing if my man would do some breathing exercises. He has no breath control.
And that's been
the problem. I was actually talking to somebody, and she was like, yo, who used to work at Deaf Soul, and she was like, yo, we had a vocal coach for him and everything. He gave him breathing exercise. I was like, it was Kenny Hicks, wasn't it? She was like, yep, he like a notorious, like a legendary male R&B vocal coach back in the day. And she was like, yep, it was Kenny. And it's like, and I know people don't do vocal coaching the same way now, but in 2000, yeah, it was still there. She was like, he told him stuff to do before the shows. Man just would not do it. And Music is not one of those acts because of this who's on the road the way Anthony is. He's lazy.
Yeah, and he tries to cover
the breath control by doing these runs, but the run is terrible. Off note, off key, flat, sideways, upside down.
And the thing about some of his songs, there are parts in his songs where you have to be able to sing. You can't kind of skim over it or like kind of like half sing over Love. Like those are long sustained notes that you have to hold, and you know what I'm saying? Like, so he's playing himself by not taking this seriously.
And there's unfortunately a whole new generation, because I think folks who have been following Music's career this whole time already knew. I can't remember a time where people weren't saying this about Music, right? But there's one woman was saying, she was like, I know Music's catalog. She was like, I had no idea until tonight that he had a reputation for being a bad live performer. And I was like, he's the, like, when you feel like you're going into a neo soul set, they supposed to be able to sing. Like, that's supposed to be.
That was the whole point. They're musicians.
They can. They're musicians and they can sing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how you the one nigga in all in the old soul
that can't do nothing?
Who can't sing? And, yeah, and like, terrible. And like these, but and like you got these chart hits. So, but anyway, Anthony brought the Hamiltones, which in and of itself was unfair, honestly, because
it's over.
No one nigga can go up again. The yeah, fucking Hamiltones, you just yeah. can't. And then the song with Eric Robeson mm. and Raheem Devon, like, mm-hmm. oh my god, it was amazing, amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, and Anthony also brought up Donald Jones. Forgot about that. They did say what? Mm-hmm.
What was it like?
Because I guess apparently Anthony wrote that.
Really?
Yeah, with Donald.
Oh,
right?
That's cool.
Yeah. Did you watch it at all, bro? Were you out? Oh, you was outside.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. Mostly because I love Anthony Hamilton, and you guys know I love the Hamiltones.
Mm.
But, you know, God bless with music. I have no desire to hear him at any point.
Yeah.
I never have, right? Like, right. I never have. Yeah. Again, this is not me being a grumpy old man. I'm just really... not interested in certain
shit.
You
really set in what you fuck with and what you don't. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean... Like,
I mean, if you look up grumpy old man in the dictionary, though, you might be three or four.
Yeah, I'm saying just... I might be there, but also what I realized, like, it was interesting because I literally had no desire to even check in on my phone. Like, I've been out with other mm-hmm. verses, and I'll check
and
in.
Check in on the phone.
Mm-hmm. And just check in. Oh, okay. They doing that. They doing mm-hmm. that. Cool. No desire, my nigga. Zero.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
It was cool. It definitely was one of the best ones, but it was all right.
One of the things we mentioned before we started taping was the fact that, you know, music brought out Lucky Day.
Yeah.
Because Lucky's over and over samples have crazy.
Wow.
And how
Lucky Day.
Oh. On the one hand, it was a very dope moment because music is doing what we want our artists to do, which is bridge that generation gap. Mm-hmm. But on the mm-hmm. other hand, music kind of played himself because it was a direct comparison of
his vocals.
Because Lucky fucking sing. Not only can Lucky sing, that kid has so much stage presence. Like,
mm-hmm.
the first time I saw him and started paying attention to him was just at the Soul Train Awards. So I went to the Soul Train Awards.
At the Apollo.
Yeah, right? And mm-hmm. he did Over and Over. And I was like, oh, this is 90s R&B energy right here. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, you wild late.
I don't listen to these people. This is the first
Painted that came out in, what was it, 2018, 2019? Painted was perfect.
You know, I don't listen to people who released music after 2003. I'm just saying, like, it was last year, the last quarter of last year was the first time I really was listening to any semi-current artist.
And y'all call me the grumpy old nigga.
Mm-hmm. I get off my lawn. Listen, in 2000, I was listening to WBLS instead of fucking Hot. Like, it's not, that shit is not new, but
Lucky's dope though. No, Lucky.
Lucky's got it.
Talent.
He's dope. Oh, that was the other thing I was mad about with music.
It was just
nigga, like, what are you wearing, bro? What are you wearing?
My friends say he looked like a back pocket.
Yeah, that's trash.
But I think that's that is a part of why I'm not very interested in him. Because I've always gotten the energy that he was not very interested in being an artist. And
he'll put on effort.
He doesn't put this. There's no level of showmanship. There's no level of I don't want to say pride because I don't think he's trying to mail it in, but I just don't think he has a level of
it just doesn't.
You know, he's gonna give you whatever he got, and if he got a 65. Yeah. That day, you getting a 65, my nigga.
Yeah.
Like, and that's
yeah.
it. That's all you get.
To your point, his energy picked up for Just Friends, for Sunny, right? And the dun 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 dun. Mm. And that song, compared to the whole rest of the night, completely different. But apparently somebody tweeted me that when he was on Questlove Supreme, he basically said he hates his entire catalog except for like two songs. Really? And I was like, he performed like somebody who hates
he performs his like that, yeah. Like yeah, his fit was, I mean, Anthony came out with the mustard yellow leather pants on. He had the hat.
He had the brim.
He had the brim, you know what I'm saying?
Because he's on the road. He's a showman. And yes. He understands. A lot of people also don't, that voodoo tour, that's Anthony Hamilton doing a lot of that.
You can hear him over it sometimes.
That is Anthony Hamilton involved in that entire process. And when you went to go see that show, that's him doing, I don't want to say the choreography, but like really kind of guiding those background vocalists and really helping with that stage show. This is what he does, man.
Yeah,
and he loves it. Him being on stage is a second. It's like second nature to him.
Yeah, second wind.
And in fairness, not everyone has that. And maybe that's just music's thing. You know, maybe he's just in, like, maybe you go and you perform six times a year and you go to a festival here, there, and go overseas and, you know, get you some bangers and mash and make a couple dollars and come back home. Yeah. I don't know, yeah. You know.
I would, to you young A&R niggas and any of them doing R&B, I would call music though, because I promise you he got a bunch of hits.
I think he's an incredible writer.
Yeah, he's a great writer. You ain't doing nothing with the record, so shit. Let me get him. I'll pay you.
I don't remember hearing the music writing for other people though. Like he didn't even get that act. He had Aries off the ground.
Yeah, well, oh yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, so it was I want to mention Genius, which is the Kanye 3-part documentary. The first one dropped. Was it today or last night?
Today
it dropped. I watched it earlier.
Directed by Kuti and Chike.
Yeah, Kuti and Chike. I know you watched it now. Was on a plane. I know he didn't watch it. Did you watch it?
Well, I watched it last week.
I can tell you now, I'm not watching that.
Okay.
Well, here's what I will say though, Sean. Sean, I understand your perspective. But what I will say is that even if Kanye is the last nigga on earth you need any more exposure on, at least this first episode is fucking magnificent. And it's narrated by Kuti.
Which I thought was dope.
Which is very dope. And which kind of removes a lot of the Kanye-ness from it, right?
Yeah. Because it's Kuti's movie.
It's Kuti's footage. It's Kuti's narration. And it starts with a framing of what Chicago was at that moment. So it's like how Kuti got on, how he bumped into Kanye in the first place, how he started taping his footage, and what was going on in the Chicago hip-hop scene. And it was Kuti. What was that show Kuti was doing?
Channel Zero.
I didn't even know this background on Kuti, right? Kuti being like the host on Channel Zero.
Kuti basically was doing Video Music Box in Chicago. Right.
Essentially, in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know all this. And the footage he has is fucking incredible. Like, the first piece of footage he has in the day that Kanye's with Harlem World and Mace.
Yeah.
Was like, what the fuck? Like it was incredible. So like Kuti being the one to walk us through this, like it's his voiceover, like it's a literal narration over everything. It just it helps to remember what people enjoyed about Kanye in the first place. But it also like to me, this Kanye it's like a whole, it's like when I watch footage of Whitney when she was younger, it's almost like to me, she's a whole different Whitney. There's like a whole different person. It's a whole different person than the Kanye that exists right now, right?
And Kanye even talks different. He talks different.
Mm-hmm. He's so young. This is Kanye, like the first episode ends, right after he gets his deal, when he's on the Hard Knock, he's on the Blueprint Tour. The Blueprint Tour?
I don't remember.
At the Blueprint Tour. Or is it the Blueprint Tour? Whatever tour. In the Chicago stop when Jay and Dame give him his chain. That's where the first episode ends. So like, I was surprised at how much I liked it. Mm-hmm. It's like Kuti narrating it is brilliant. I have the other two episodes. I haven't watched them yet. They come out in next week and then the week after next. But I do know that apparently there has been some behind the scenes kind of struggle, because I think, you know, as we get closer to real time, it's harder to keep people rooting for Kanye, right?
Oh, yeah.
And in this, you're rooting. I love the footage of him and his mom so much. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was interesting for me was, and I had heard the stories. I wasn't really around the Rockefeller people too much, but I heard the stories. But you see up close how they really was shitting on him.
Yeah, like they were not. They were like, here come this nigga again. Find Kanye, play the little.
And they would just be like, okay, nigga, with some beats. Like, I don't even want to hear about the rap.
I need my
like,
shit.
Like, the nigga walks in, and I get it too, because I've also been on that other side of the desk when you're working, and an artist walks in and wants to play your shit, and you're kind of in the middle of things, and you can't focus, right? I get that. But this nigga was literally walking in. He walks into Carlene Bayon, who's not, I don't think, long in the business, and Shaka Pilgrim. He walks into each of their offices and plays All Falls Down. Like, the record, the only difference is this one has the Lawrence sample. It's the same song.
Shaka's like, all right.
They're like, nigga.
Shaka's face was incredible. I can't believe that they got that footage.
Yeah, and it's then great. He walks into Carlene's, and Carlene's like, can you cut the camera? Like she's like.
Carlene's like, I'm trying to take a phone call.
And some girl walks in, and she starts talking to Carlene, and Kanye's face is like. So I say that to say, not, you know, y'all know, you know, I don't cut to this nigga either, but I understood more his chip early, before all this fucking shit was happening now, his chip early, because I could
like, y'all didn't believe in me.
I could just imagine All Falls Down blows up, and everybody's like, yo, this shit is hot, and yo, we're gonna shoot the video, but, and he's like, it's the same fucking record that you would not pay attention to me. Then there's another part where he gets in touch with Scarface, and they go to Hit Factory. Yep. He wanted Scarface to do the chorus on Jesus Walks. And so he plays Jesus Walks to Scarface, and Carlene says, that shit's dope. What else you got? He's like,
right.
Nigga.
And then he played did they even do the family? That family?
No, I don't know if that record ever came out. But it's,
and Scarface is like, give me that one.
Give me that one.
I just can see the vision, right? It's like,
yeah, like nobody could see it. So like, again, so when that record obviously blows Scott, not to say he's mad at Scarface, but it's just, he's kind of like, he's playing records all through this first part, bro, that blew up. Like but besides really Taleb and Mos Def, most of the other people are kind of like half or not even really paying attention. He plays two words. He plays all these records that blew up, and everybody's just like, all right, nigga, you got any beats though? You got any beats though? Like, fuck this rapping shit. You got any beats though? And he's not.
And a lot of people that are. Well, with the exception of what, Jay-Z, everybody else fell off or never even made it altogether. Like, everybody that we're seeing diss him, cast him aside.
The funniest part was to me, to that part, not funniest, but the one part where I was like, yo, how times have changed, is him going to visit Clue in the studio, and Clue's like, you have my track. And I'm like, that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that shit changed. But I got a sense of his hunger. I think I might have said this on the show before. Tata told a bunch of us a story once about, like, they were all out to dinner, and literally, I think this might have been when Kanye first got signed. Like, Kanye literally climbed on top of the table at dinner and was like, nobody's listening to me, right? And it's like, that's, like, back when he used to use the phrase go hard, like, that nigga was a go hard. And you see it, but he's also young and he's hungry. And when he's back home visiting his mom, you also can just see that he was like this as a kid, right? Like, watch this, look at this, let me show you this, mom, watch this.
Remember his mom said, you remember that time he went to, I came to the school, I dropped off at school, and he turned around as a kid and told his mother, I don't need you.
Like, this is so crazy.
Like, but also, I understand the kind of go hard part, because he's basically like, I've been telling you niggas, and no one to give me attention. And then the other thing that I find striking, and we'll see in part 2 and 3 what happens, but pretty much, and I don't know why, but pretty much all those people that were with him at the beginning are not with him anymore. Nobody. Like, Rhyme Fest, him, he shot through shots of Quali, like his cousin, some other guy.
Yeah, Devo hasn't been with him since the first album.
You're like, where are all these people that... You know,
who is the person who introduced him to John, by the way, to John Legend.
Really?
They were roommates at PIM.
Wow.
So no, they were roommates when John moved to New York. Somehow they knew each other, but they were roommates, and Devo introduced John to Kanye.
So all these people, there's more people, to all these people that were kind of with him pretty much every day. You know, like they're just like they're all. Don C isn't really around him like he used to be. Rhyme Fest is not around him anymore.
Rhyme Fest, he and Rhyme Fest made up, but they still not.
It ain't the same. Yeah, it ain't the same.
And John Monopoly still steps in, but they not.
It ain't the same.
It ain't the same. Like none of the shit is the same. And I guess we'll see that. So like the second episode is all about the making of a College Dropout and I guess graduation and like his ascent. And then I think the third comes up the modern day with like the fashion. And the third is the focus on the third is supposed to be his mental health. So we'll see.
The other thing he went through, which all artists go through, is a lot of people passed.
A lot of people passed.
Like John. Priest to Taleb because he was trying to get him signed. He was going to do a deal with Ruckus.
And Ruckus's A&R suggested, though, that he was really trying to fight for him and couldn't get it through top brass. Same thing with the white boy from Capitol. He was like, I really wanted to sign you, you know.
Yeah, but they didn't see it. So it's just from a filmmaker's standpoint, it's very well done. And again, because, you know, Cootie pretty much followed him with a camera everywhere. So
he had everything. Like, I wasn't prepared for it to be so immersive. And I also thought about how much work they must have gone through during making this to get all these
the edit
cleared. Well, to get all
the clearance. Yeah.
Like, I mean, Shaka. Carlene, Young Guru, Talib, Mo, like there's so many faces in here. They had to get all that shit.
Even the footage of them watching the R. Kelly interview with what's his name?
Ed Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What a moment. What a moment to catch about the first tape.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's so much. It's just so rich and it's such a time capsule, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, first of all, it's beautiful that the shit exists. And I'm also guessing that as we come closer to modern day, because, you know, Cootie and Chike have been doing their own thing now for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So I'm also guessing that as we come closer to modern day, it's maybe not his footage anymore. It's like, I'm totally talking shit, but I'm guessing it's not his footage that he's in control of anymore, because I can't imagine he's had the opportunity to shoot as much of Kanye, because they started moving. I became familiar with them because they were doing shit for Cole during the warm-up.
They were directing videos and stuff.
When
like
Cole
that.
First mm-hmm. got signed to Roc Nation, so we had them doing Cole's videos, and they were doing like Staley. They were doing like those dudes, you know. And then like just kept getting bigger and bigger. Creative Control, their company, bigger and bigger and bigger. So I am curious to see how the story evolves. And, you know, simultaneously on the back end, on like some, you know, through the looking glass shit, your man's is becoming so much more ridiculous in real life that I'm really wondering how this is going to impact how people watch and receive the doc. Because like full disclosure, I don't think anybody from Netflix is going to hear this, hopefully. But I was supposed to be hosting a series of rooms each week to talk about this, moderating with some affiliates, some executives, some whatever. But shit keeps changing so much.
It's
like, okay, maybe not. Okay, maybe. Yeah, and not even with him, per se. You know what I'm saying? But just still, like, just not knowing how, you know, sentiment is gonna run, right?
Yeah.
It's just really, really touchy. And I would just be, if I were Netflix, I would be furious that this nigga can't shut the fuck up for 10 seconds and just like
let us do what we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I do suggest it, and I definitely went into it with apprehension, but it's a very well done piece of filmmaking. It really is. I can't front. Let's jump into, let's mention Euphoria.
Bruh. That girl, if she don't come away with some kind of award, it's all a farce.
I mean,
get it all out of here.
Euphoria is like a masterclass in drama.
It really is.
In TV drama. All the fucking way around, because we got more of Stormy this week.
I think we're gonna get some more. I think we're gonna get a little Stormy peace coming. I feel like we're going to get like a little more Stormy background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got more Stormy.
Well, Gia's her character.
Well, her name, yeah, her name is Gia, but you know, her real name is Stormy.
Yeah.
And even just this, so first of all,
we got a little piece of mom too.
We got a little piece of mom. Mm-hmm. The actor who plays Nate is British, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That always fucks me up when I watch the after the episode and he's talking in like his regular accent. Mm-hmm. Because he does that very specific type of privileged jock white boy so well.
Asshole.
That brooding.
Yeah, like wounded, asshole. Like you are definitely going to peak in high school and you know it. Somewhere in your soul, you know this is it for you. So you're mad at every fucking body.
Yeah.
Like, that scene with
like you might work at a car dealership.
No, he's gonna remember they said he's gonna peak because he's gonna take over his father's business.
Right.
So he's like, I'm probably not even gonna go to college. I'm just gonna do this.
But like one of the things I was struck by, I was like, Nate and Cassie are both so completely, well, first of all, Nate's mom, who we really haven't heard from at all.
She was great.
Yo, she's gonna be one of them chicks that has a divorce party, like that looks like a bachelorette party with like the sash and going to strip club. But yo, she gonna fuck
a couple black guys.
No, she was. But the way she was like, don't start being angry at me because you're an angry guy. Like you could tell she just had some shit to get off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so both your parents are admitting that your father is fucked up as shit, but both of them are also saying you are even more fucked up. So, like, how can you possibly receive that? And I'm like, him and Cassie are both so completely fucked. Because Cassie was driving me insane
this episode.
Cassie was losing her mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they are going to just repeat the cycle. He's going to knock her up. They're going to get married. He's going to kill some people. Like, it's like, there's no... The shit.
Yo, she moved in. She packed the fucking bag. And that
was Cassie brilliant how they did that because they showed Cassie's mom just staring at her when she was leaving.
Yeah,
and then they showed Nate's mom. And they showed Nate's mom just staring at her when she walked in.
Yeah,
like we both know how this is going to end up terribly.
Yep.
You know,
he did to Maddie was
no. That's why
I had to pause and like chill somebody for a minute.
The shit he did to Maddie is because I'm trying not to give spoilers, but the shit he did to Maddie was so fucked up. Like, that's so depraved. Like, your mind has to be so gone. And he was completely thinking straight and rational and being completely calm.
Because remember at the end, he was like, chill, I was just joking.
That
switch flips. Like,
yeah. That's cool. But, like, he wasn't even raging. But his voice wasn't, you know, like, it was whatever. And, like, then he goes to see Jules. And Jules is like, what, are you being a good guy? All of a sudden, he was like, oh, not at all. You should see what I had to do to get it. Like, exactly. He's completely level-headed. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like he just accepted, I think after his mom talked to him, and after he went through the drawer, right? And he saw the note from his dad, I think he just accepted, like, well, this is what the fuck it is.
So I guess Cal is gone. He ain't
Cal is out.
You know, I don't think we're going to see him again on the show. I think he's off the show. Like, he's gone.
I can, like, piss in the foyer and, like, come back to that house.
And the piss
like,
is still there. The piss is still there.
The piss
is still there. They didn't clean it up.
God.
Yo.
That's because their housekeeper doesn't come till Tuesday.
Right.
What I'm guessing happens in that household.
We got
the Fez shit about to pop off.
Well, I wanted to talk about Ali coming to the house real quick.
Oh, yeah. What's it called? Mom like Ali.
Coleman Domingo is fine.
He's incredible.
He's
but
so
also incredible
actor. Mm-hmm.
But like, what I loved about that moment was Rue's calling Ali because this is her sponsor. She needs him. She's calling him to apologize, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that when Ali comes over, he doesn't come over just to sit in the living room and like have a heavy conversation with her. He's like, we're going to make dinner. We're going to play some music. We're going to resume some warmth and we're going to turn these lights on, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to resume some warmth and warmth.
We're going to be joking with each other.
We're going to give baby girl some attention because she's lost in the mix. And I was like, it's so subtle, right? To be like, y'all leave, me and her going to
talk
and talk and just keep this shit light. You know, like when he's like, your diarrhea, withdrawal ass, you know, like all of that. Like, let's just keep it what it is. It's okay for her to be mad. It's okay. You know, like, let's just keep the shit what it is.
But it was also subtle that I don't know how subtle it was, but it was also interesting that that's the Leslie is whose mom, Lindsay's mom. It's the first time I've ever seen her with her hair down. She had earrings on. She's like, nigga, she I'm
had,
here.
Yeah, no, she's had like, I'm had here. Like,
she likes Ali. Remember in a couple episodes before, she was like, he's handsome. Like,
I think it was also nice for someone else to be in control for a minute.
Exactly. Because
he walked in and was like, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
Go sit down.
Yeah.
And there's probably some relief there, because who can you unburden yourself to about your fucking junkie teenage daughter? Right? Yeah.
And, nobody but the counselor.
And your husband's deceased. It's not even like your husband's an ex and you can be like, yo, we need you to come through. Like, the nigga's gone.
Yeah.
So what can you do? So yeah, I'm sure there was like relief and comfort and like, again, him lightening things a little bit.
And they had like a family dinner. They're all sitting at the table together. They probably haven't done that in fucking years. You know? So yeah, now the show was, I mean, even Peace, every week Peace doesn't die, but the first scene, she can't open the Jolly Rancher, and she got the snot running down out of her nose. Like,
crazy.
I'm like, yo, she's incredible.
But
I actually thought that she was also, besides the withdrawals, I thought she was like shaking because she was scared because of Lori. Like, what's going to happen? But it was just withdrawal.
I wonder if her mind's even been able to go there yet, because I think there were only a couple days past. But did you guys, what I think was really poignant, I'm sure Lori's going to come back, because
Lori's definitely coming back. Yeah.
But also, what's happening is, you know, if anybody was questioning whether Leslie was realistic about how deep it is for Rue, you know, she's on the phone with the treatment center, and they are clearly just trying to, put her in detox.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, she needs rehab. Like, she's going to kill herself. She's going to kill herself. She's going to kill herself. So she's clear that, like, her daughter has no shot.
Let me tell you how I was a puddle on the floor.
Yeah.
Because the way she was crying at the end, and Rue and Gia are sleeping. They're not even hearing it. And she's just pleading with them people. The show was incredible.
It's that helplessness when you want, like, your kid is literally your heart. Walking around outside of your body, and that heart is broken, and there's nothing you can do. That is
exactly
heartbreaking.
Next week looks incredible, because the show did it, but the casting of Lexi's play, I was like, they nailed it. They look just like the fucking kids. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be incredible, and the play is going to reveal a lot of shit. And then we got something's gonna happen with Ashtray and old boy who's working with the cops. It's a lot going on. So
yeah, Ashtray and Fezco are both brilliant characters to me.
They are. Because they're like kids who are raising themselves. Like, well, Fez is raising his brother, like, but Ashtray is like a shooter for real.
A name. Like, yeah. That's his name. Crazy. Yeah.
And he's a shooter for real. Like, for
brilliant
real.
Characters. Yeah, has no fear.
No fear. Like, I think he's going to set it off on old boy next week. The guy who's working with the cops.
I mean, hopefully they figure it out before something happens to Fezco, because
he's
gone unscathed for a really long time.
Lexi realized that Cassie dimed him out. You know, remember when Lexi was in the kitchen, she was like, you're the one who told on Fez. Like, you know. Every week Euphoria is incredible.
No, she knew it. She was just like, because she was there when she did it. She was just like, is that why you did it?
Oh, that's why you did it. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So every week is incredible. Let's end with inventing. Let me just say real quick. Ready to Love, Own. It's a fucking mess. It's some old niggas from Potomac County who's just in there to try. It's Black Planet come to life. And niggas, ain't nobody looking for no love, but they're not even hiding it now. They just talk. They talk sex right from the first conversation. It's like, yeah, I want to put something in you.
Wow.
It's nothing but unks and aunties trying to fuck.
That's what's happening. I do miss having, like, I just need a little bit more free time so I can watch this trash own stuff. I want to get on it.
It's such trash. But let's end with inventing Anna. Now, I started watching this. I did not finish watching it, but I've watched pieces, documentaries, and a 60 Minutes piece. I've watched pieces on the story, so I know the story, but I haven't seen the story acted out in this movie.
I love the actress who is playing her. I'm probably not going to watch this, though.
You didn't watch it?
No. I feel like it's you know, I don't like just blatant white privilege on display like that. That's what it is. I'm good.
And she's and in real life
gallivant around the world stealing from people.
And in real life, she is a horrible, rotten to the core person. She has like, she's like no like white privilege to the nth degree. Like, yeah, so what? I did that. What? I don't. What? That's their fault that they let me do it. Like, whatever. Like, she don't give a shit. Like, about nothing. Even doing time. I don't know. I don't think talk about this on the in the movie. I doubt it. Maybe, but I know the couple of weeks ago, they arrested her again. And threw her in jail she's in jail in New Jersey, in Bergen County, and they started the process to deport her back to Germany.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's about to leave, because, you know, she took so much money from so many rich, powerful people. I guess when she got out and did her time and got out and just got right back to it, they're like, nah. So yeah, she's in Bergen County jail.
Double decker white privilege story.
Yeah, she's in Bergen County jail, like as we speak. God, they're in the process of sending her ass back to Germany, forever. You know.
Well, I hope they put her on a boat and not a plane.
Oof.
Make it take a while.
Yeah, no, I stepped away for a minute, so she missed this one. Anything else you want to talk about?
I just want to shout out the custodian at the high school I had to go to this morning to drop off some paperwork because the district office is in the high school, who mistook me for a student. Oh, I just want to say thank you so much.
Was it a man or a woman?
For whatever your name was. It was a man. He was a little bit far away.
Is he black?
Like light skin. Might have been mixed or something. Older dude.
He's trying to get your Facebook information.
He asked me for my hall pass, and you're not going to be able to tell me shit for 5 to 7 business days. I just want you to know.
Mr. Milton, Facebook messenger you. See what's popping.
He won't poke you on the Facebook.
Word, won't poke you. Take you out with some crab legs.
I got called a high school student today, so that's all I needed. I got a little jolt of energy.
We was talking just real quick about Inventing Anna, but none of us watched it. But I was saying I had watched.
I watched it. Y'all didn't watch it? Oh, I watched it.
No, but I watched pieces. Yeah, I know the story. I've watched documentaries and pieces on it. And I don't know if they. I was saying to Inka, I don't know if they say this in the movie. Probably not, because this is very recent. But you know, she just got arrested again, and she's in Bergen County
infraction.
Yeah, Bergen County jail, and they're deporting her back to Germany. So she's done. But I'm gonna watch the movie just because one night I'll just check it out, you know. Bro, you got any shout outs?
No, it's a series. It's not a movie.
Oh, it's a series.
It's a 9-episode series.
Oh shit, I might not watch that.
It's worth it though. Yeah. It's very Shonda. It's very light. It's more entertaining than I think. Like, it's compelling. But it's compelling in a very kind of entertaining type of way. Mm. And the one criticism that I had and a few people had is that it makes you, I feel like it makes you root a little too much for Anna, right?
Really?
But also, Anna herself, completely unremarkable white woman. Like, completely.
She's not even hot.
She's not hot.
At
she's
all.
Not sexy.
Her hair's thinning.
Her style was corny.
Oh, God.
Like, I remember reading the original story and seeing pictures of her and be like, what? How the fuck? But the character they have, the person they have play, Anna, the character, the fictitious character, style is flawless. She's cute. You know, she's got the right bags, the right clothes. She's got polish. There's nothing about this chick ever looked. She was like but I can also see how she managed to make her way in society because she was like a Chloe Sevigny type.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I never got it.
And you know, the white folks love the European.
That European, whole Eastern white, European
with an accent.
Yeah, the Eastern European shit. Mm-hmm. So like, I couldn't completely knock it, but like. Also, so, you know, the series is a dramatized version of shit, and it actually follows, the perspective is actually from the woman who wrote the New York
article.
The Vanity Fair was a friend, but the New York article was the one that broke it, and it's the same chick who wrote the story that was adapted for Hustlers. So it's a fictitious version of following her, trying to convince her editor that there's a story here in the first place, right? Mm-hmm.
That's what I got up to that part when she goes to the editors. Mm-hmm.
Then writing the story, mean with Anna getting scooped by Homegirls Vanity Fair piece, which shout out to Katie Perkins, who played Quinn in Scandal, who plays one of Anna's friends, and is just as annoying in this shit as she, like, a bunch of people, like, I was like, Quinn, shut up. Like, I was looking at the screen saying Quinn after a while, like, Quinn, shut the fuck up, because she was being very Quinn-ish.
Well, she was mad at Quinn for years.
And then, what's my girl's name? From Orange is the New Black, Laverne Cox plays Laverne Cox plays Casey Duke, the Black trainer slash lifestyle coach. There's another Black girl who
now the girl again, this is me, sorry, because I'm old nigga. Mm-hmm. That girl in real life is I do not think
Casey Duke is trans.
Right. Okay, because she's cute. I seen the picture, I was like, oh shit.
I do not think Casey Duke is trans.
Okay. I was just checking because you know I don't be knowing nowadays, you know what I
love, and I do not think that Laverne's, I mean, obviously Laverne plays Casey for real, so I don't think she's meant to be trans.
Well, meant to be,
So, and what's interesting is that, like, with the exception of the writer, all the characters, same names, all the locations, publications, same names, except the New Yorker, except New York Magazine becomes Manhattan Magazine, and her name is different, and her story is slightly different. But everybody else's name is like their actual name. And the other Black girl, this girl, Nefa, who worked at, what's the name of the place? 81 Howard Hotel or whatever that place is called.
What she posted, she was posted up. Yeah. This is for Nye and Inca, bro. You won't care. But 60 Minutes Australia, like, subscribe to them on YouTube because they 60 Minutes covers this type of shit. Like, how ours is on, like, some super news shit.
Right.
They do trash. Well, wow. they got an Adobe piece. They do this excellent. All their stories is like, so and so, you know, went missing, or so and so just stole this, or so and so, you know, robbed you. That's all they do, but they're fucking awesome at it. So if you just want to, like, and again, these pieces are only like 10 minutes long. It's not like they're, so if you just want to, like, go through some trash shit one day for an hour for me doing
it, 60 minutes or so.
You at the end of the internet.
Jeff knows all the media outlets for the gossipy, messy fucking shit.
60 Minutes Australia is incredible, bro.
There's
a white woman in Australia who did the same shit, but she disappeared. Like she vanished.
All the unknown corners of the internet.
I'm right
on the edge. I'm about to fall off soon. but yeah, that's it. Ain't nothing else to say. Yeah, that's it. You ain't got no more shout outs or nothing. We're going to wrap it up on that. Peace to Anna Delvey, I guess. Back when your ass is headed back to Germany. That's it.
Mr. Milton, we appreciate you.
Mr. Milton, who want to poke you on the Facebook. Bro, you got anything to say? Any shouts?
Nah, no shouts.
Okay.
All right, cool.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. We'll see y'all next week.
Later.
Bye.
All right.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.